Welcome back to Between the Lines. We hope you enjoyed that break, because we're diving back into the depths of Scripture with more enlightening discussions. Join us now as we continue our journey.
You're going to see that this excess leads to taxes, which levy there. This happens to be in people, but Solomon's building program is going to get quite expensive. And the people are going to kind of get a little weary of that. And then when Solomon's son comes along, his son says, "Oh, you think my father was taxing you? I'm really going to tax you." And that's when it all falls apart. And he sent them to Lebanon, 10,000 a month by courses a month. They were in Lebanon and 2 months at home. And Adoniram was over the levy. Solomon had 70,000 that bear burdens and 70,000 hewers in the mountains. He's put tens of thousands of people to work. And it says a levy. This is not a help wanted poster. Mm-hmm. All right, you guys, come on. You're going. Beside the chief of Solomon's officers, which were over the work, 3,300, which ruled over the people that wrought in the work. And the king commanded, and they brought great stones, costly stones, and huge stones, and laid foundations of the house. Solomon's builders and Hiram's builders did hew them, and the stone squares. So they prepared timbers and stones to build the house. Chapter 6, Book of 1 Kings. And it came to pass in the 480th year, after the children of Israel were come out of the land of Egypt, in the fourth year of Solomon's reign over Israel, in the month Ziph, which is by the second month, that had begun to build a house for the Lord. And the house which King Solomon built for the Lord, the length thereof was 70 cubits, and the breadth thereof 20 cubits, and the height thereof 30 cubits, and the porch before the temple of the house 20 cubits was the length thereof according to the breadth of the house. And 10 cubits was the breadth thereof before the house. And the house was made windows of narrow lights. And against the wall of the house he built chambers round about. Against the walls of the house round about. Both of the temple and the oracle. And he made chambers round about. Nethermost chamber was 5 cubits broad. And the middle was 6 cubits broad. And the third was 7 cubits broad. For without in the small of the house he made narrow rests round about. And the beams should not be fastened in the walls of the house. This is the laborious reading portion, so we get through it as best we can. And the house, when it was in building, was built of stone, made ready before it was brought thither, that there was neither hammer nor axe nor any tool of iron heard in the house while it was building. That's interesting. The utensils made for cutting in all the stones, the stones were all cut somewhere else, prefabricated, and brought there and put together. Interesting, because they say that the Israelites now have the third temple prefabricated already and sitting in warehouses.
Ready to go together.
Ready to be built as soon as the temple mound becomes available, which it is actually available now. Because the Dome of the Rock does not sit on the temple mound. Mm-hmm. Dome of the Rock sits close to the temple mound, but that wall that they pray to is the last remaining wall to the garrison fort that the Romans had built. And there's a lot of people that know this, but how can a very proud people come to the conclusion that they've been praying at the Roman wall all of these years? Mm-hmm. It's something they just cannot let themselves believe. But the Temple Mount is right over there in the little housing area. And all they got to do is realize it, and they can begin to build anytime they want. The door for the middle chamber was in the right side of the house, and they went up to the winding stairs in the middle chamber, and out of the middle was into the third. So he built the house and finished it and covered the house with beams and boards of cedar. Then he built chambers against all the house, 5 cubits high, and they rested on the house with timbers of cedar. The word of the Lord came to Solomon, saying, "Concerning this house which thou art building, if thou wilt walk in my statutes and execute my judgments, keep all my commandments to walk in them, then I will perform my word with thee, which I spake unto David thy father, and I will dwell among the children of Israel, and will not forsake my people." So that's twice he's told Solomon in a dream, "If you will walk in my statutes and follow me, I will do thus and thus, and I will dwell among the children of Israel, and will not forsake my people Israel." So Solomon built the house and finished it. And he built the walls of the house within the boards of the cedar, both of the floor of the house and the walls of the ceilings. And he covered them and the inside with wood, and covered the floor of the house with planks of fir. And he built 20 cubits on the sides of the house, both of the floor and the walls, with boards of cedar. He even built them for it within, even for the oracle, even for the most holy place. And the house, that is, the temple before it, was 40 cubits long. And the cedar of the house within was carved with knops, which is gourds, and open flowers, all with cedar. So he's got ornamental carvings of flowers and vegetables. There was no stone seen, and the oracle was prepared in the house within to set there the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord. The oracle in the fore part was 20 cubits in length, and 20 cubits in breadth, and 20 cubits in height thereof, and he overlaid it with pure gold, and so covered the altar which was of cedar. So Solomon overlaid the house within with pure gold, and he made a partition by the chains of gold before the oracle, and he overlaid it with gold. And the whole house was overlaid with gold until he had finished all the house, until the whole altar that was by the oracle he overlaid with gold. This is an entire gold-plated building. Donald Trump's office has nothing in comparison. And within the oracle he made two cherubims of olive tree, even 10 cubits high. 5 cubits was one of the wings of the cherub, and 5 cubits the other wing of the cherub, from the uttermost part of one wing unto the uttermost part of the other were 10 cubits. And the other cherub was 10 cubits. Both the cherubims were of one measure and one size. The height of one cherub was 10 cubits, and it was of the other cherub. And he set the cherubims within the inner house, and they stretched forth the wings of the cherubims, so that the wings of one touched the wing of the wall, and the wing of the other cherub touched the other wall, and their wings touched one another in the midst of the house. And he overlaid the cherubims with gold. Imagine that. And he carved all the walls of the house round about with carved figures of cherubims and palm trees and open flowers within and without. It's, Jonathan, This is God's first house that's being built. And it's full of angels, carvings of angels, and flowers and vegetables. And how do we get from there to the Roman Catholic Church through
gargoyles
and monsters,
yeah,
and demons,
and then claiming that it's for the good?
Yes, the gargoyles, yeah, that sit on the cathedrals are to keep the evil spirits,
right,
away.
Because superstition. I'm listening. Good.
Interesting.
Yeah.
And the floor of the house he overlaid with gold within and without. For the entering of the oracle, he made doors of olive trees, and lintels and side posts were a fifth part of the wall. 2 doors were also of the olive tree, and he carved upon them carvings of cherubims, angels, and palm trees, and open flowers, and overlaid them with gold, and spread gold upon the cherubims and upon the palm trees. I wonder if it ever crossed his mind, let's put a gargoyle in there. What a big horned goat.
What's that gargoyle look like? Just think about the most ugly thing you can.
Yeah. So also made he for the door of the temple posts of olive tree and fourth part of the wall. And the 2 doors were of fir. The 2 leaves of one door were folding. The 2 leaves of the other door were folding. And he carved therein cherubims and palm trees and open flowers, and covered them with gold fitted upon the carved work. And he built the inner court and 3 rows of huge stones and a row of cedar beams. And the 4th year was the foundation of the house that the Lord laid in the month Ziph. And in the 11th year of the month Bull, which is the 8th month, was the house finished throughout all the parts thereof, and according to all the fashion of it, so was he 7 years in building. Wow. Yeah, that was excessive, but nothing compared to the next temple that's going to be built after Solomon's temple's turn. What did they tell Christ? Christ said, you tear down this temple, I'll rebuild it in 3 days. Talking about his body, of course.
Oh, yeah.
But what the Pharisees say, in 45 years in building?
Yeah.
And that one was really excessive. But Solomon was building his own house 13 years, and he finished all his house. So did he put a little bit more into his house than God's?
A little bit there.
He built also the house of the forest of Lebanon. The length thereof was 100 cubits, and the breadth thereof 50 cubits. And the height thereof 30 cubits upon 4 rows of cedar pillars with cedar beams upon the pillars. And it was covered with cedar upon all the beams and lay in 45 pillars, 15 in a row. And there was a window in three rows and light against light in three ranks. And all the doors and posts were square. And the windows and light was against light in three ranks. And he made a porch of pillars, and the length thereof was 50 cubits. The breadth thereof 30 cubits, and the porch was before them, and the other pillars and the thick beams were before them. And he made a porch for the throne where he might judge, even the porch of judgment. And it was covered with cedar from one side of the floor to the other, and his house where he dwelt had another court within the porch, which was of the like work. Solomon also made a house for Pharaoh's daughter, whom he had taken to wife, like unto this porch. And he's taken foreign wives, right? Mm-hmm. But there's no outcry. Why? Because he has liberty, because he's following God with all of his heart in this point. Mm-hmm. All these were a costly stones according to the measures of huge stones, sawed with saws within and without, even from the foundation under the coping, and so to the outside toward the great court. And the foundation was of costly stones, even great stones, stones of 10 cubits, and stones of 8 cubits. And above were costly stones of the measure of huge stones and cedar. And the great court round about was with 3 rows of huge stones and the row of cedar beams, both in the inner court and the house of the Lord and for the porch of the house. And King Solomon sent and fetched Hiram out of Tyre again. He was a widow's son of the tribe of Naphtali. And his father was a man of Tyre, a worker in brass, and he was filled with wisdom and understanding and cunning to work all works of brass. He came to King Solomon and wrought all his work. For he cast 2 pillars of brass of 18 cubits high. That's an amazing feat. That's an amazing industrial feat. Mm-hmm. 18 cubits high. What is that? That's like 55 feet high.
Yeah. Yeah.
Of brass.
Right.
And if you understand, it has to be melted down and cast. Put into a form and cast.
And you're talking about the weight of brass, yes. And then the softness of brass when they were erecting it. Without it bending or snapping. And
Wow. It's an amazing industrial feat. Of 18 cubits high a piece, and a line of 12 cubits did compass either about them. And he made 2 chapiters of molten brass to set upon the top of the pillars. The height of the 1 chapiter was 5 cubits, and the height of the other chapiter was 5 cubits. And nets of checker work and wreaths of chain work for the chapters that were upon the top of the pillars, 7 for the 1 chapter and 7 for the other chapter. And he made the pillars in 2 rows round about upon the 1 open network to cover the chapters that were upon the top with the pomegranate. So he got these pillars and he put these amazing ornamental tops on them. Mm-hmm. And the chapters were upon the top of the pillars were of lily work in the porch, 4 cubits. And the chapters upon the 2 pillars had pomegranates also above, over against the belly, which was by the network. And the pomegranates were 200 in rows round about upon the other chapters. Amazing carvings. This is a even more spectacular than he built the house of God. And he set up the pillars in the porch of the temple, and he set up the right pillar and called the name of it Jachin. And he set up the left pillar and he called the name of it Boaz. And upon the top of the pillars was lily work, so was the work of the pillars finished. And he made a molten sea, 10 cubits from the one brim to the other. That is a swimming pool. And was round about the height of 5 cubits. And a line of 30 cubits did compass it round about. And under the brim of it round about there were knops compassing. There's gourds again. What about the gourd? Was that a major food staple at the time?
I'm not sure because, not sure.
10 in a cube. They do grow very easily. I mean, you plant them 1 year, you got them 5 years in a row, and you don't even try.
Right.
10 in a cubit compassing the sea round about, and knops were cast in 2 rows when it was cast. It stood upon 12 oxen, 3 looking toward the north, and 3 looking toward the west, and 3 looking toward the south, and 3 looking toward the west, toward the east. And the sea was set upon them, and all their hinder parts were inward. So he's made these molten images of oxen, and his giant swimming pool sits on their backs. This is amazing, and also very excessive. And it was in the hand breadth thick, and the brim thereof, which wrought the brim of the cup with flowers of lilies. It contained 2,000 baths, according to. estimates, that's 17, roughly 17,000 gallon swimming pool. That's quite large. Olympic size. And he made 10 bases of brass. 4 cubits was the length of the one base, and 4 cubits the breadth thereof, and 3 cubits the height of it. And the work of the bases was on the manor. They had borders, and the borders were between the ledges. And on the borders that were between the ledges were lions, oxen, and cherubims. And upon the ledges there was also a base above, and beneath the lions and oxen were certain additions made of thin work. And every base had 4 brazen wheels and plates of brass, and 4 corners thereof had undersetters under the laver, where the undersetters molten at the side of every addition. And the mouth of it within the chapiter and above was a cubit, but the mouth thereof was round after the work of the base. Very, very difficult to discern from the king's language exactly what these things look like. Mm-hmm. And a cubit and a half, and also upon the mouth of it were gravings with their borders 4 square, not round. And under the, not round, it's square.
Yeah, made it a point to say that too.
Yes. And under the borders were 4 wheels, and the axle trees of the wheels were joined to the base, and the height of the wheel was a cubit and a half. And the work of the wheels was like the work of a chariot wheel. Their axle trees and their naves and their fellows and their spokes were all molten. And there were 4 undersetters to the 4 corners of the base, and the undersetters were the very base itself. And in the top of the base there was round compass of half a cubit high, and on the top of the base the ledges thereof and the borders thereof were of the same. For on the plates of the ledges thereof and on the borders thereof he graved cherubims, lions, palm trees, according to the proportion of every one, and additions round about. After this manner he made the 10 bases of them, had 1 casting, 1 measure, and 1 size. Then made he 10 labors of brass. 1 labor contained 40 baths, and every labor was 4 cubits, and upon every one of the 10 bases, 1 labor. And he put 5 bases on the right side of the house and 5 bases on the left side of the house. And he set the sea on the right side of the house eastward over against the south. And these are smaller little pools of 300 or 400 gallons right there round about the 17,000 gallon swimming pool. I mean, this is, you know, what is it? Lifestyles of the Rich and Famous.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
That guy would have gone crazy in this house.
Uh-huh.
And Hiram made the labors and the shovels and the basins. So Hiram made an end of all the work that he made King Solomon for the house of the Lord. The 2 pillars of the 2 bowls of the chapiters were on the top of the 2 pillars, and the 2 networks to cover the 2 bowls of the chapiters were upon the top of the pillars. 400 pomegranates for the 2 networks, even 2 rows of pomegranates for 1 network to cover the 2 bowls of the chapiters that were upon the pillars. And the 10 bases and 10 labors on the bases, and 1 sea and 12 oxen under the sea. And the pots and the shovels and the basins and all the vessels which Hiram made to King Solomon for the house of the Lord were of bright brass. In the plain of Jordan did the king cast them in the clay ground between Succoth and Zarethan. And Solomon left all the vessels unweighted, because they were exceedingly many, neither was the weight of the brass found out. Solomon made all the vessels that pertain unto the house of the Lord an altar of the gold, and the table of gold whereupon the showbread was, and the candlesticks of pure gold, 5 on the right side and 5 on the left, before the oracle, with the flour and the lamps and the tongs of gold, and the bowls of the snuffers and the basins and the spoons and the censers of pure gold, and the hinges of gold, both for the doors of the inner house and most holy place, and for the doors of the house, to wit of the temple. So was ended all the work that King Solomon made for the house of the Lord. And Solomon brought in the things which David his father had dedicated, even the silver and the gold and the vessels did he put among the treasures of the house of the Lord. A little bit laborious there, but what I want you to gather from this is Solomon is following after God. God is blessing Solomon, but excess is coming into Solomon's life, extreme excess. And Christian, you don't feed this body, you don't feed this flesh more than the spirit man can control. Okay, it's okay to have pleasure, it's okay to drink a little alcohol, it's okay to eat delicious food, but only what you need. Don't overdo it, because as soon as you overdo it, the spirit man begins to go to sleep and lose control. And once the spirit man loses control, that excess will go to boundaries that cannot be set.
It's very hard to get back.
Yes, it's very hard to get back. Good addition there, Jonathan. You've been with David and Jonathan on Between the Lines, Understanding the Bible on WVFF 97.7. Any day in God's Word is a good day. We'll see you next time.
Thank you for joining us on this episode of Between the Lines. We hope you've gained a deeper understanding of God's Word and strengthened your faith in Jesus. Tune in again for more spiritual discoveries, 3 p.m. daily with David and Jonathan, exclusively here on Veterans for Freedom Radio, the Truth in Broadcasting Corporation.